Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. Today is August 2nd, 2021, and welcome to August, everyone. We have five more months until the end of the year, and it is going by super fast. Are you heading over to Jacksonville, Florida this week? TPC Sawgrass with the Global Organic Produce Expo. I'll be there, so please reach out. We will have a podcast live from the course. And speaking of live, let's get it out there, everyone. Indianapolis Fruit Company is going to have a live session on the Produce Industry Show of Weekend Winners the month of August. So stay tuned to get up-to-date information on when that will be. And the virtual networking hour by the Produce Industry Podcast, August 18, 2021 at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And our last announcement, we have a new Friday segment coming to you live from the Produce Industry Podcast. We are bringing on an industry veteran to host these episodes, Fresh from the Field Fridays, everyone, with Dan, the Produce Man Avakian. Those will be starting August 6th, so tune in every Friday moving forward for the rest of the year. And now let's introduce our featured guest, Daniel Malachuk, the CEO at Kalera. Kalera is a technology-driven vertical farming company with unique growing methods, everyone. And we're going to learn more about those growing methods. Now, Daniel is an experienced senior leader with a demonstrated history of high-level success. Daniel is going to talk a little bit more about how Kalera was formed and what he is doing for the future of the produce industry. So, everyone, let's get Daniel Malachuk on the line today. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, it's great to have you. Listen, when my buddy Jay Gardner came up to me at SEPC in April of this year, and he was like, "You gotta meet my buddy Daniel." And I'm sitting here like, "Who? Huh? I'm just trying to have a cup of coffee," right? And Jay is full of energy, everybody. If you know Jay, he's been on a lot of our networking calls. He's been on the podcast as well. Jay Gardner from Citrus America got us linked up, Daniel. We were able to exchange business cards right there in the hallway. And that got me learning about Kalera. And I remember the first thing I asked you, I was like, "Awesome, awesome. Where are you located?" And you were like,
"Orlando, Florida, right down the road."
I was like, "Wait a minute." I was like, "This is where we are." I'm like, "I'm in Tampa," right? So everybody, soon we will be at Kalera's warehouse. You will soon see some video content of them in the future. But right now, we're going to get down to the future of farming, everybody. We're going to talk about Kalera, the science of great greens. Now, if you have been on the podcast or listener to the podcast in the past, we have featured Nick Greens, the Polygreens podcast. We have featured, or coming up, we are featuring The Villages Grown. We have featured Bright Farms. These are all companies that do indoor farming, whether it's lettuce or, you know, intergrow tomatoes or greenhouses, right? Tomatoes. There has been a big, I would say, crowd and surrounding around indoor farming, Daniel. So this is great. I think this is fantastic. I think that we need to start getting this into, I'm going to say, you know, got a funny like this, mainstream, right? Because I feel like when people see the greenhouses, they don't think of it like how it's really industrializing in the produce industry today. So I got to have you give us a 30,000 foot overview before I start pounding you with questions, man, on Kalera, why you brought this to the table, why Orlando, Florida. Let's get this going.
Kalera's been here for about 10 years, actually 11 now, and we've been pioneering the way in vertical farming. And it's taken us a long time to get to where we are today. You know, our co-founders had the vision and the dream of producing food sustainably and locally, and they started out and initially in a project right outside of Orlando, Florida, for a city that was going to be called Destiny. That was a dream of the late founder of Subway to have a fully sustainable city. Unfortunately, that didn't end up working out for a variety of reasons several years ago, but our founders continued the dream and kept going forward. And here we are 11 years later, still headquartered in Orlando, Florida, where we opened in 2018 our Marriott High Cube on the World Center, the largest Marriott center in the world. And then from there, we opened our large vertical farm in Orlando in 2020, right in timing with the global pandemic. And then since then, we haven't slowed down. We used last year as a year to continue to ramp up. And I'm quite confident we're the largest vertical farming company in North America now. We've got operations in Orlando, in Atlanta, and well underway. We're just weeks away from opening a mega facility in Houston, Texas, followed by Denver, and then Seattle, and Minnesota, and Columbus, Ohio, and Honolulu, Hawaii. And I could keep going on and on, but excited about where we are today and also for you having me on the show. Thank you.
Oh, man. Listen, everyone, he just name dropped like every major city and state in America. Jeez. I mean, Daniel, that's awesome, though, man. I mean, that's what we want to hear because we on my side, I represent grower, packer, shippers of citrus. And I always talk about this with greenhouses. I was like, how do you do this with citrus, right? I know that there's greenhouses out there that grow citrus, that cultivate citrus and do these things. But traditionally, it's a different way of farming. It's actually not a new way of farming. There's always been greenhouses, right, Daniel? It's just, I believe we're now, that the pandemic has put local farms, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, dude, just jump in and be like, no, Pat, you're wrong. We've always been here. But like, it puts you more on the map, I would say, because your distribution was completely different than the overall, right? If you're in, I'm in California and I'm shipping to Atlanta, those structures, just-in-time inventory, freight costs, external factors, all those things go into shipping fruit or shipping vegetables from one state to another. When you're local, it's completely different. You can literally pick up the phone and be like, hey, do you have this? And I've seen this through some of the other greenhouses that I've been talking to, the CEA facilities, that they're like, no, we have a different relationship with our customer because they are, a lot of times, are the consumers. Or if it's a restaurant looking to add something to the menu, it's, you're now integrating your footprint away into the industry a heck of a lot different than if you were a normal grower, packer, shipper in California growing 600 acres. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me.
No, you're spot on, Patrick. And you know, we don't really call ourselves in the indoor vertical farm greenhouses as much as we do indoor farms. And there is a differentiator there that we're not glass with natural sunlight. In fact, we're protected from all of the environmental impacts that may happen. And we'd like to say we perfected Mother Nature indoors through that perfect combination of science and technology with farming that allows us, exactly to your point, to eliminate a 2,800-mile supply chain from Salinas or from Yuma, Arizona, for example, all the way across the country here to Florida or to Atlanta or Houston. And that supply chain is long. And to your point, it's getting more and more expensive. When you talk about driver shortages right now, I mean, it's one of the other great pandemics. I'll use that word. It seems to be a buzzword of plaguing our nation right now of just not having enough laborers. And truck routes are more and more expensive every day. You hear about that. And so what is so great is, for example, here in Orlando, Florida, we're blessed to be partners with Publix, an amazing retailer here in Central Florida. And their distribution center, their warehouse, is less than 2 miles away from our farm. And so you want to talk about farm to table. We harvest our products, and within minutes, I won't even say hours, within minutes, we're going out of our door and we're supplying a truckload of product right into Publix. They get it that same day where we've harvested our living lettuce, still alive, and our living lettuce gets right into the stores, and it can theoretically be at home on a customer's table for dinner the same day it was harvested. Now, tell me when that used to happen. Well, it used to. That used to be how food was grown. Pat, food was always local. Go back 100, 200 years ago. Yeah, I mean, you think about my great-grandmother. I go over and I'm Polish. She, you know, makes really good food and pastries. But I remember being in her backyard and she'd say, hey, go get that chicken. Or, hey, go pull that tomato or go pull up that radish that's in the ground right there. That's how people cook. That's how people ate. Well, good and bad, we've gotten away from that. It allows us to eat things such as citrus, for example, hundreds of miles away or thousands of miles away in the heart of winters. But boy, isn't it great to be able to go right back to being able to eat locally and to have food produced as pure and fresh and clean right in the heart of the city, exactly where you are within hours of harvest.
Right.
I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm excited about that too, because you can't listen, everybody. I've talked about this in the podcast over the last 100 so episodes, is that, you know, I came from California. Yes. I was born and raised in San Diego. I've been all over the state of California, but a lot of my roots come from that Central Valley. Listen, I'm going to be real, everyone. I live in Tampa, Florida now. And people are like, oh yeah, Florida citrus. Listen, I know the Florida citrus game has gone down a lot. Man, I never see groves. I never see anything. When I lived in the Central Valley, and obviously different going from like Los Angeles to Fresno, right? But when you can literally go and call your buddies, Daniel, and be like, hey, what's up, man? I'm going to stop by the packing house. Say, can I get a box of citrus? And then you go to another packing house and you're like, hey, I'm going to pick up some grapes. I'm going to pick up some figs. I'm going to pick up some, like, I could go on, man. Like, I could get everything in the Central Valley of California. And really, it made me ignorant to the rest of the world, Daniel, because I moved over to Florida. And then you come over here, and what's on the shelves here in Florida? Fresh from Florida product, right, Daniel? And I'm sitting here, and I told my wife, I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what is this stuff? And I'm like, well, I thought all potatoes were grown in California. I'm like, why are there tomatoes out here? I'm like, what is going on, everybody? Because I was so enriched in a lifestyle of getting fresh produce all the time, being in that Central Valley. And I remember my friends, and I not remember still to this day, they still make fun of me because I'm the guy that walks into a restaurant, Daniel. And when I order like lettuce or avocado, I'm like, is that local fresh? I'm like, how old is that? You're not buying that from XYZ company.
Were you in that episode of Portlandia that I saw? Have you seen that one about what was the chicken's name? Well, can we go visit the farm and see him? No, it's really great. Check it out.
It's a Grant's HIPAA. We're not allowed to give the chicken's name. It's unfortunate. We're not allowed to, but you know what? Exactly. I'm like, but you get to that point, and I think that's what local farming communities are doing, and that's what I've been learning from a lot of the CEA facilities. And I don't think you guys are all competitors against each other. I think that you value one another together, because I think each region, each facility has their own right distinctive nature of what they're doing. And just like you said, when I was visiting another greenhouse, it's not a greenhouse. I got to get out of the way of saying that, because you're right. A greenhouse is completely different than an indoor facility, than the CEA and what you guys do. But when I went to this 85 acres of indoor farming, that's what it was, right? When I saw these products and they told me just what you said, which was, listen, this could be harvested today and on your plate within 24 to 48 hours. If if it went to the grocery store, like you said, and I picked it up that same day, the potential is it was harvested and processed and in your belly within 24 to 48 hours. Holy freaking crap. Like, yes, Daniel, you're so right. That's what it should be, man. And we've gotten away from that, but that's why it's becoming so important to consumers to know where their food comes from now. People are getting more into, where does my food come from? Why are we doing this with it? Right. And I can even tell you, going back to the California citrus, industry, that plant, that seed came over from Brazil, came over with conquistadors, and we started planting these. But guess what? We didn't plant them for commercial use, Daniel, back in the days. You know what Californians did? They planted it on their acreage, because when you came into these states, you were given a parcel of land to produce, right? You had pigs, you had cows, you had oranges, you had all your varieties of produce, meat on your own farm, really. We've gotten away from that. Retailers have started, right? Urbanization, right? Urban sprawl. Think about it, right? Now you're bringing this now back to the city. You're saying, you don't have to do this. We have it right here for you, day in, day out.
That's right.
That's insane, man. I'll tell you what, when I look at stuff like this, especially the indoor farming, it blows my mind, because I'm starting to think, is it the future of farming, Daniel? Are we going to see more vertical farms? Are we going to see this process start to change? Heck, are we going to see growers pull out acreage in other states of real farmland and put facilities up?
Well, look, some of the challenges that the industry is faced with, they're not going away. I mean, you think about the headlines of water shortages or how that demand is going to continue to be prevalent in states such as California, right? They built that state with an infrastructure for a focus on half the population that it is today. And there's forest fires on the West Coast. Those things, every year it seems like there's something new. And, call it climate change, call it just nature. It is what it is. But, those things are challenges, and they're always disruptive to the supply chain. And so if you can find a way that you can ensure security, consistency, quality, price security and stability, all of those types of things, and yet do it locally, safely, cleaner, more sustainably, it's pretty exciting. And I think that's what fires my team up and me certainly every day, is that to have the ability to go to work every day and to know that you're creating a great product, but more importantly, you're doing something that's, I'd say, is really great, right? It's really good for the consumer. It's good for the planet. And it's also really fun.
It's a really good piece of, I always say a really good piece of fruit, but a really good vegetable, right? So Daniel, this is a perfect time to take a quick break, hear from some of our sponsors. And when we get back, I want to hear about some of the products that you grow. Some, I know you spoke a little bit about some of the facilities that are up and coming. You talked about being the largest. So we're going to get back to that in a little bit, talk about some of those products and learn more about you and Clara.
Can't wait.
Welcome to Terra Exports, a fast-paced, entrepreneurial, and innovative multinational fresh produce company with 8 divisions worldwide that handle fruits and vegetables across 65 countries. Did you know that Terra Exports was featured 3 times in Inc. 5000's fastest-growing companies? Terra Exports starts at the ground, literally, with the growth of the product at the farm all the way through distribution channels up into the end user. They take pride in their products arriving fresh and damage-free, and they're there every step of the way, working alongside suppliers and customers who share in their common goal. Visit Terra Exports at www.terraexports.com, as well as following them on social media on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. If you get on their website, you can also check their availability calendars and all of the produce that they have in store. When you join Terra Exports, you become a member of their global team of thinkers, innovators, dreamers, and doers who are bringing a fresh approach to the produce and supply chain industry. So reach out to Terra Exports today at terraexports.com. Are you ready to enhance your skills? Every day we are tasked to make fast, effective decisions to keep up with the fast-paced produce industry. At Ag Tools, we take the pressure off of gathering data to help make your day easier and more enjoyable. Connecting the supply chain with Ag Tools is unique, practical, and easy. Ag Tools can be used from multiple angles of the produce industry, from farmers all the way to logistics companies. We call that 360-degree decision-making day after day. Visit www.ag.tools.com to gain more reliable and relevant data to see more, achieve more. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. It's always great to hear from some of those sponsors of the Produce Industry Podcast. So let's get back to talking to Daniel over at Calera about indoor farming. Daniel, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Hey, man, the first part of this conversation was exhilarating, okay? I couldn't wait to get really off the ads and get back into the conversation. Even though I love listening to Terra Exports, Ag Tools, and hearing those weekend winners, I just had to get back to talking about Calera, the science of great greens, everybody. And that's what I think is so cool. Daniel and I talked about some of the places you could find these Calera greens, where they're located, and, you know, really a 30,000 foot overview. So it was a great conversation. If you didn't get a chance, get back, replay it, and re-listen. So Daniel, let's talk about what we grow though. Okay. Because as I was navigating through the site and learning more about Calera, I even asked you, I was like, so you do like what, like 1 or 2, you know, leafy greens? And you were like, step aside, young man, let me teach you something. So what do we grow here at Calera? We got to know.
We grow the world's finest whole head of living lettuce greens. We got a different variety of 5 or so different items that we're doing. And that includes everything from world-class romaine lettuce to our incredible Calera crunch. In fact, go to our webpage and listen to what it sounds like when you have that patented Calera crunch. Your friends may think you're eating a potato chip. Maybe they think that you just stepped on a piece of plastic, but no, that crunch, crickety crack, is Calera crunch. That's how great it is when you eat it. But then we've got our frisée, which is dainty and delicious. We love to put that on the fish tacos, for example. And then we have our beautiful red oak leaf that's got a nice pop of purple color in there. And then we also have our butter lettuce. But you know what? Calera is doing anywhere upwards of 10 or 15 different whole head variety lettuces. And we also do incredible microgreens. And these microgreens are beloved by our customers, particularly in the food service segment. When you talk about mini cilantro and basil and peas and miniature broccoli in our hyper spicy micro mix, they're all crowd favorites. But you can find those products not only in retailers here in Central Florida, but as we're moving across the country and expanding, one of the great sets of partners that we have are the food service distributors. And these guys are taking our product to all kinds of great places. You go to Universal Studios here in Florida and you eat lettuce, you're going to hear that crack and crunch from that Calera Crunch that's being served at Universal Studios or the fine restaurants and hotels all around Central Florida. So not only do we love our retail customers, but we got a shout out to the Amway Center, for example, where Levy Entertainment Group, when you go to watch an Orlando Magic game or your favorite concert, you're going to find Calera lettuce there at the arena. And the same with the Super Bowl over your neck of the woods, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had that victory in their own house. Well, maybe it was that crunch in the crowd that was cheering them on to victory from that Calera lettuce that was there at the Super Bowl.
Man, I'm trying to figure out like what to do in a spot where when you go to a restaurant and you get that lettuce that is soggy. I've had times, Daniel, where I've asked the waitress or waiter to take it back because that crunch that you're talking about, like if it's like a wilted, you know, soggy leaf.
Triple washed in bleach nonetheless from chlorine, right?
You can't do that
when it comes from the fields of, you know, the other side of the country. Yeah,
I don't even know how they serve some of this stuff. So everyone, to hear that Calera Crunch, I think it's deemed valuable to hear it. And if you haven't heard it, there it is.
I love that
right there.
That never gets old, by the way. You should do it again. Do it one more time. Hit it one more time, Patrick. True story. So we were doing a commercial we were filming, and we heard that noise as we were going. The producer heard it through the headphones. He's like, oh my gosh, you got to hear what this sounds like. This is amazing. This was one of our employees, actually, or one of our mechanical engineers chomping on some lettuce. And he's like, dude, I've got to segment that out. And we said, great, let's put that on our webpage. So there it is.
That packs a punch, man. I'll tell you what, that is some crunch right there. I definitely agree that you would think you are biting into a potato chip. You know, it took me a lot of years, Daniel, and I'll tell you a quick story. And this might be true to a lot of different people. Maybe it's not. Okay. But I never liked lettuce or tomato on my sandwiches, my burgers. And I mean, burgers.
You were one of those guys that when it came to a BLT, you know what you just had?
Bacon.
Just the beef.
It was a bee. It was just a bacon sandwich, man. Like I still do bacon sandwiches to this day. And, but no, realistically, you know, when I have a burger and when I mean a burger, I don't eat beef. Everyone I eat, whether it's turkey meat or things like that, ground turkey meat. I would never put it on. I would just be like, listen, I'm not having a salad, everyone. I don't need all this on my burger. Now I can't like live without it. Like, I feel like once you have had the experience of a really bomb tomato and like a like fire lettuce, like you know, like you're like, okay, like I want this on my sandwich, I want this on my burger. And now I get mad, like my wife will come home and she's like, hey, I'm running through here, I need this. I'm like, hey, make sure you get me this lettuce tomato. And it's so funny because whether it messes up, like for me, it always like, because my son will get a plain sandwich, I'll want lettuce, tomato, everything on it. And then she'll be like, oh man, they gave him the lettuce tomato, not you. And now I'm sitting here eating the plain and I'm just like shaking my head like, oh, I don't want this plain. I'm like, I want lettuce. I want tomato.
No doubt about it. My kids are the same way. You know, they until they started having daddy bring home some Calera lettuce and then they understood, oh my gosh, it's a whole different experience. And we did the Calera lettuce challenge with a local chef here from Tavistock Group, an incredible customer of ours. And anyways, this is a year and a half ago. And we said, hey, chef, take a sample of this. Put it in your fridge and come back and try it a little bit later on and tell us what you think. Well, he had to go to Atlanta. He was gone for 3.5 weeks and he came back and he tells his story better than I can. But he said he opened up his refrigerator. His wife's like, that lettuce in there, it's been in there 3 weeks. You just might want to know that. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's been in here 3 weeks. He takes it out. He puts it on a turkey sandwich and it crunches just like that salad you just had. It was fresh and crispy because it's living lettuce. And he said, I have never had such incredible lettuce, even 3.5 weeks later. And the rest is history. They're a great customer of ours. But that's the experience that you get when you get local, fresh, living lettuce from Calera.
And everybody, that's the crunch. If you have heard it, you're going to hear it more and more and more. So 3 weeks and you get that, you can't beat it. Now, I'm going to bring up some of the other partners that I've dealt with in the past, right? Because a lot of times, again, I've talked about the, you know, indoor farming, not that you guys are all competitors, but like Bright Farms, I've had Abby Pryor on the show. We've had her on the podcast. We've talked about this too, the crunch, the freshness, all of these different things. Heck, one of their varieties is Sunny Crunch. And you're like, Pat, why are you bringing up someone else's, you know, indoor farming? Because I believe that everybody, this is complementing our industry. This is complementing the way that really you should be eating a piece of lettuce. So what I mean complementary is that if there's more indoor farming facilities being able to produce this for you, that is going to be better, because we don't want those wilted, soggy, bleached out romaine heads. I'll be real with you, Daniel. So I think it's cool that, you know, each CEA, right, has their own distinct nature, what they're doing. They have a differentiation compared to another one. But you guys all being out there, guys and girls getting out there and doing this, this is where I think is most valuable, right? Because again, if I was to have any microgreens or anything, I would say normal brands, and we know the normal brands out there, Daniel, because you compete with them in the grocery store space. You couldn't leave it in there for 3 weeks. If you had bag lettuce right now from the normal Salinas Valley grower, calling them out, aren't I, Daniel? in Salinas Valley, California, you can keep lettuce in your fridge for 3 weeks and still have a crunch. No way. Come on.
No, it's generally already 3 weeks old by the time you eat it, particularly here on the East Coast. So, and by the way, probably triple wash with bleach. How appetizing is that?
Triple wash with bleach. Yeah. And it happens. That's what I'm saying. So I think that this is the way of the future, right? As we talk, there's a lot of cool, different, you know, I would say brands that are coming out there. You talked about off the mic that Claire is the brand, but there could be some cool things coming in the future. Why don't you talk about some of those future projects you guys got working on?
Yeah. Look, one of the things that's so exciting about Claire being coast to coast is the ability to partner with big time players, regional, national, and to have the ability, both food service and retail, to service their needs across their whole distribution network. And when you do that, you get the opportunity to consider having conversations such as private label for them as well, which, you know, the Calera brand is great. It's important. We're building it. It means something. You're hearing a little bit about what it means here in this conversation today. But look, we also don't mind supporting, you know, major players on their private label as well. And I think that's, not out of the question for the very near future for Calera. And we're excited about that.
Well, I like that too, right? I mean, just like you see potatoes or you see tomatoes or you see citrus. Listen, a lot of times those are private growers that then let them put their, I would say their commodity, but geez, I got to get away from saying commodity, their fruit or their vegetable, their product in their label, because it's hitting a different market that they were never hitting before. So I think that's great. Heck, you're in Publix. You've talked about it over the last, 10, 15 minutes. I mean, there's certain companies that aren't able to get into Publix. So if you're able to cultivate, you're able to private label, you're able to do things to expand the industry, expand that experience, right? I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, that's what I think it's all about. And I think that's what it is all about. You've got a lot of microgreens too. I just started getting into microgreens this year. I didn't really understand them. I was like, I don't understand. So this is called micro broccoli. So is it supposed to be like a baby broccoli?
Great vitamins, minerals, and taste of a broccoli. But I tell you what, you mentioned earlier, you got a wife and kids. So do I. I pretend that I can cook every now and then. I'm not great, but I'm not terrible. You want to make yourself look like a rock star? Come buy some Calera spicy microgreens. Sprinkle those suckers onto a pan-seared salad. I'm sorry, pan-seared scallop rather. Got salad in my mind. Jeez, that's all I do all day. But you salad, put some of those microgreens right onto that pan-seared scallop, and all of a sudden you just took a sweet-looking scallop, and now all of a sudden you look like you're an executive chef ready to go see on TV somewhere.
Drizzle a little bit of like vinegar over it. My wife got this recipe. It was crazy because I am now a Brussels sprout fan. Like, I love Brussels sprouts, especially now that you can air fry them, Daniel. I love Brussels sprouts. So my wife was like, I got this recipe, and she's like, I'm gonna cook it for us. Well, Daniel, the baby, the 1 month old at the time, got in the way. Darn babies. And she was like, I can't cook tonight. I'm like, what about the Brussels sprouts? She's like, you're gonna have to do it. So as the chef that I am, I tried, but I was trying a little extra, I was trying to douse the vinegar over it, like put some cheese over it, like get some bacon bits, like I'm following the recipe, but I'm trying like really hard, right? They didn't come out the way we wanted. They still came out good, but we wanted them a little bit crunchier for being air fried. But I totally understand what you're saying, because I just went through that kind of experience with, making Brussels sprouts the other day, and they turned out good, man.
Isn't that one of the greatest joys in life? Number one, to be able to create great food, and then secondarily, to eat great food. And that's what's so great about your podcast is you've got this incredible focus on great food, and that's what inspires us every day here too. And it's one of the great pleasures in life.
I agree with you, man. And when you mess it up, it's even worse. Like, I always love messing up my chicken or my pork and then not eating the rest of it, because I'm like, it's not good enough. And you're like, what do you mean? It's dinner time. Like, yeah, but I didn't cook it right. Right. I mean, that's kind of stuff happens. But Daniel, this has been fantastic having you on the show talking about Kalera. It was awesome to meet you in person at SEPC Southern Exposure this year in April. It's great to get back together. If anybody wants to reach out, get a hold of yourself or the organization, how can they go about doing
that? Best way to hit us is you can go to our webpage, kalera.com. You can see great information there. But personally, I love to connect with people. So you can find me on LinkedIn. True story, the one and only Daniel Malachuk in the entire world, M-A-L-E-C-H-U-K, Daniel Malachuk. Look forward to hearing from some folks that maybe enjoyed the podcast today and love to connect.
The Daniel Malachuk, everyone. And I didn't butcher his last name on the first go around. Sometimes it's an honor to be able to say someone's last name, being able to meet them for the first time and talking about them. So Daniel, great to have you on the show. Everybody, please reach out to Claire, learn more about the science of great greens, learn about all these microgreens and different lettuces that have amazing, amazing crunches, everyone, like the one you heard. So we will see you in the fields and on the horizon.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.